So the causes of suffering, Buddha explained, is the klesha and karma. The klesha is the negative emotions, the disturbing emotions, and ignorance. That's klesha. Now this maybe needs to be explained. You know, the basic negative emotions are aversion, fear, and attachment, craving. And then together with and this craving and fear is coming out of from Buddha's point of view, coming out of ignorance. Here ignorance means the confused state of mind, not knowing what I am, not knowing the way whole phenomena is. Because of that, then I have a way of reacting which is based on what we call duality. And because of that, then everything we react with aversion and attachment. Now here, this is a little bit complicated. It's a little bit complicated because this is the main thing, the most important kind of understanding. because you know, the aversion attachment we can see. For instance, aversion actually means fear. The fear is one of the most important sources of our problems. The fear can be of many different levels, many different degrees, many different types. Because we react with fear all the time, so, you know, we kind of naturally, most of the time, as a samsaric mind, react with fear and with craving, attachment. Now fear as a problem, way of, you know, is a kind of source of this pain and problem, maybe we can see more easily. Attachment, we can not see it very clearly. It's more difficult. Most of the time, we feel that attachment is something nice. Because, you know, we are attached to something nice, then I'm attached to that. It's something good. It's something that I want. And in pursuit of something that I want, my mind is totally kind of engaged in something that I like, that should bring me more happiness and fulfillment. In a way, there's nothing wrong to appreciate something nice. There's nothing wrong to enjoy something that's wonderful also. There's nothing wrong. But attachment is not just that. Attachment is attachment is creating a dissatisfaction. How I understand is this. If I say, you know, this is a beautiful flower. Oh, nice, this is a very beautiful flower. Very nice. I'll enjoy it. And I go away. No problem. But I say, this is a very beautiful flower. I want it. I must have it. Problem. Because now I've created a state of mind where, you know, this is nice flower, I don't have, so I must have. So therefore I have created a dissatisfaction within me. Unless I have this nice flower, I am unhappy. I am unhappy unless I have this flower. That's created me. Although I can't really have it, how can I have it? I can carry it to my room. Is it having it? I can put it in my room, under my bed, you know, under my pillow, you know. Does it have it? I can put it in my mouth, eat it maybe. Is it having it? Then I don't enjoy the flower anyway. So, you know, most of the time you cannot have it, but you want to have it. And then, once you have want to have it, you actually create a dissatisfaction. Your mind is, you know, I want that which I don't have, so I am unhappy. So any craving, any attachment, any kind of like that, is creating a dissatisfaction, that I am creating a sense of not having something, not fulfilled, not satisfied. So therefore, as long as I want that, I am not happy because I want that, I must have it. When I get it, then maybe I don't want it anymore. Because, you know, I can't carry it in my luggage. Even if I carry in my luggage, it will be totally destroyed and no good. You know? But then, I have another problem, how to get rid of. But even if I want really, and I still, I have it, now I have it, and I really like it, and, you know, then another problem, you know. Maybe somebody will take it from me. The fear comes. You know? Maybe it will get destroyed. The fear comes. You know? So that fear of losing it continues till I actually lose it or I don't want it anymore. So therefore, you know, when I have this way of reacting with this aversion, fear, and attachment or craving, then there is no peace in me. There is no peace. There is no satisfaction. It's always either running after something or running away from something. So, if I am doing that all the time, where is my happiness? So there is no chance to be happy. And because of this, these two, fear and, you know, craving, then all other emotions come. You know, I get angry if I don't get what I want. I get angry, you know, if I get something that I don't want. You know, I get upset. I get, you know, frustrated, I get, you know, all kind of problems. All other emotions come from there. Jealousy, pride, you know, all kind of, you know, miserliness, greed, all these problems come from there. naturally. And then with this way of reacting in me, when all these things are very much all the time happening, I'm fully disturbed. My mind is fully disturbed, and I can't be. And then I react. I react very strongly. You know, I become aggressive. I become, you know, emotionally very kind of clingy. I become all sorts of, you know, it's there's no peace. When it becomes very acute, then, you know, it's more problem. I get mad. I get mad, I get depressed, I get all sorts of things. And this is, you know, that is based on, this is the understanding from Buddhist point of view, is that's based on not understanding who I am, what really I am, and what really everything is. Because if I really understood who I am, what I am, and what everything is, I don't have to react like that. That is coming in this, the third point. So therefore we don't discuss it here. But then because of this way of klesha, then we create the karma. Now, this is very important from Buddhist point of view. Everything that's around, everything that's, you know, the whole phenomena is causes and conditions. As you all know, Buddha doesn't believe in a creator. But he doesn't also say everything happens haphazardly, without any reason, or without any causes and conditions. So everything that is there is because of causes and conditions. Because of the causes and conditions. So now, that cause, and many causes and conditions, and very interrelated, interdependent. Everything is an interdependent thing. I said I will talk about this later, but I'm talking about this now. Yeah? That's the problem with Buddhism. You know? That's the problem with Buddhism. I was trying to find how to introduce Buddhism in a very simple way. And actually nobody has succeeded so far. And I said, why we can't introduce Buddhism in a very simple way? I find it's because it's so interrelated. It's so interrelated, you cannot just simply start with a very simple thing, because it's all interrelated. So when it's all interrelated, you know, then one you cannot understand unless you talk about the other, then you have to talk about everything, and you cannot talk about everything. So therefore, there's no simple starting point. That becomes a problem. This is the main understanding that. That everything is interdependent. Everything is interdependent, very related, very dependent, and you know all the causes and conditions like that. Each one you look at, it cannot be without all others. It's interrelated. And therefore, you know, you think that I am Rinpoche Thakur, you know. I am Rinpoche Thakur, you know. All these are Slovenians or somebody else. So we usually see like this, you know, this is me and everything else is there. And sometimes even, you know, this me, this is my body, you know, not me. This is my head, not me. You know, this is my thought, not me. Where is me? That's a little bit confusing, no? And that's what we are, you know, a little bit confused. That's ignorance. So, finally, if you look deeply, you don't find any me. You know? It's all either my or something else. You know? And what is me? And then you find that me is actually more or less an assumption. An assumption that I create a kind of like a cartoon image. That's me, which is supposed to be experiencing everything. And then, you know, then say, you know, this me like, this me doesn't like, this, you know. And then, you know, that I like, then I, you know, I go after it, and I don't like, I run away, and then I create a big, you know, a turmoil because of the assumption of something that's not there. So this is what we call the dualistic way of seeing. There's an experience, yes, there is an experience. There's experience, but experience is, you know, everything is my experience. What is that experiencer? Is it something that is outside of the experience? There's no experiencer. But this is the third. But it's important to. So therefore, you know, when we talk about the interdependence, everything is interdependent and dependent arising. Now, if you apply that on a person, then we have karma. Because of my way of reacting, because of my emotions, because of my habitual tendencies and things like that, the way I see it, the way I react, the way I think, the way I, you know, I'm used to, I create my way, my world in a way. I create the way I am. And the way I am is very important agent, very important part of the whole world for me. Because, you know, when I see this, you know, we say this is a flower, as if this flower is totally existing on its own. But the way I see this flower is very much me. You know, it's not... this flower can be seen differently by different people and different entities. The bee might see it in a different way. I might see it in a different way. The warm inside it may see it different way. All these different kind of bacterias inside. And, you know, it's very many ways how the flower is. It's not that the flower is flower. And flower is maybe home. flower is food, flower is all sorts of things. It's not even flower, if I have a different eye to look at it. So therefore, you know, that kind of, you know, how I experience the world is created by me, or my way of seeing, my way of being, my, you know, all the things that that is kind of my habitual tendencies and senses. So therefore, if I have lots of negative way of seeing, you know, like even now we can see, if I'm in a bad mood, I see all things dull, nothing is interesting, nothing is, you know, colorful. It's lovely and simple. But if I'm in a good mood, Slovenia is so nice people. I used to tell this story. I mean, first is
I tried to find the reason. Da so, kaj je vzrok trpenja. Buda je to poimenoval kleše in karma. Kaj so kleše? Kleše so negativne emocije. Negativne emocije in pa nevednost, zmedenost. Zdaj treba te stvari malce razložiti. Osnovna negativna čustva, negativna stanje uma so odbojnost ali strah in pa navezanost ali hlepenje. In ta hlepenje in strah nastaneta zaradi, tako je Buda učil, zaradi nevednosti. To je zmedeno stanje našega uma, v katerem ne vemo, kaj smo, ne vemo, kdo smo in ne razumemo, kako obstajajo vsi pojavi. Zaradi tega potem reagiramo na določen način, ki je, ki ima svojo osnovo v dualnosti, v tej dvojnosti, bodi si navezanosti, hlepenja ali odbojnosti. Strahu, sovraštva. To je sicer malce zapleteno, ampak je zelo pomembno razumeti. Naprimer, za strah ali odbojnost nam je precej jasno, da povzroča probleme, da je velik izvor mnogih problemov, na raznih nivojih, različnih stopnjah, različne vrste problemov nastanejo zaradi naše verzije, zaradi našega strahu. Večino časa reagiramo na tak način, torej, da se poskušamo znebiti določenih stvari in to je tisto, kar poganja naprej naš samsarični um. Jasno nam je, da je strah ali negativno čustvo odbojnosti, da je izvor bolečin in trpljenja. Za navezanost, za hlepenje, pa to ni tako preprosto. Tega ne moramo tako jasno videti. Zakaj? Ponavadi hlepimo po nečem prijetnem, nečem lepem, nečem, kar hočemo. To zasledujemo. Naš um je popolnoma prevzeti se in da hočemo dobiti nekaj, kar želimo. Mislimo, da moramo to dobiti, da bomo potem srečni, da bomo zadovoljeni in izpolnjeni. Nič ni narobe s tem, da določeno stvar cenimo, da v določeni stvari uživamo v določeni prijetni, lepi stvari. Ampak samo dejstvo, samo čustvo hlepenja po nečem ustvari v nas nezadovoljstvo. Recimo, če je vidim lepo rožo in uživam v pogledu na njo in potem enostavno vidim, potem s tem ni nikakršnega problema. Ko se v meni pojavlja misel, jaz hočem imeti to rožo, jaz jo moram imeti, potem postane to problem. Kajti zdi se, kot da nečesa nimam in potem se v meni pojavi stanje uma, ko to moram imeti in to ustvari nezadovoljstvo. Zdi se mi, da bom nesrečen, če ne bom posedoval te rože. Potem pravi Rinpoče, ampak kaj sploh lahko naredim s to rožo? Lahko res imam. Pravi, lahko jo odnesem v svojo sobo. Lahko jo skrijem pod posteljo, lahko si jo dam pod polštar. Lahko jo pojem in potem je tako tako ne morem imeti, ampak v resnici je ne morem zares imeti. In takoj, ko se pojavi ta želja, se pojavi tudi nezadovoljstvo, se pravi nek prepad med tem, kar si želimo in med tem, kar imamo. In kakršnokoli navezanost, se pravi, um spostavlja navezanosti, ustvarja ravno to v umu, ta občutek revščine, da nečesa nimamo, da nismo, da ne moremo biti zadovoljeni, da ne moremo biti izpolnjeni. In potem se včasih zgodi, da tudi, če tisto stvar, za katero sem si zamislil, da jo moram imeti, dobim in potem v končni fazi nočem več. Pravi Rinpoče, recimo, če bi imel rožo, je potem problem, ne more jo okoli tovoriti v svoji prtljagi in tako bi se vsa pomečkala in uničila, če bi jo dal v kovček in tovoril naokrog. Seboj. In potem postane problem, kako se znebiti tistega, za kar smo najprej mislili, da nujno potrebujemo. Ali pa, kadar uspemo dobiti objekt svojega poživljenja, svoje navezanosti, se pojavi potem strah. Pojavi se strah, da nam bo to bodi si kdo vzel ali da bo to na nek način uničeno. Pojavi se strah pred izgubo in to je spet negativno stanje uma, ki traja, dokler dejansko ta stvar ni uničena ali izgubljena, ali se je pa ne deličam in si je ne želim več. In dokler obstaja ta dvojnost, bodi si strahu ali hlepenja po nečem, v mojem umu ne more biti miru. Nikoli na ta način ne moremo biti nikoli zadovoljeni, ker vedno bodi si lovimo nekaj, zasledujemo nekaj ali pa bežimo pred nečem. In če to počnemo ves čas, potem ni nikakršne možnosti, da bi bil človek srečen. In ta dvojnost, ta osnovna, ti osnovni negativni čustvi, potem postane ta osnova tudi za druga negativna emocionalna stanja. Naprimer, jezo, postanemo zelo vznemirjeni zaradi različnih problemov, ponovadi zaradi tega, ker ne moremo dobiti tistega, kar si želimo in zato, ker se v našem življenju pojavljajo stvari, ki si jih ne želimo. Tudi vsa ostala čustva, vsa ostala negativna stanja uma so, imajo osnovo v tej dualnosti, naprimer zavist, ponos, pohlep, skopost in vsa ta stanja se naravno razvijajo iz te dvojnosti. In v bistvu, če vaš čas delujemo na tak način, naš um vaš čas deluje in se odziva na okoliščine na ta način, potem postane naš um popolnoma iztirjen. Postanemo lahko bodi si agresivni ali pa totalno obsedeni z nečim. In na ta način postane to stanje nezadovoljnosti akutno, ne najdemo več nikakršnega miru in bodi si znorimo ali postanemo depresivni. Vse to pa ima osnovo v našem nerazumevanju tega, kdo sem, kaj sem in kaj so pojavi okoli mene. In kajti, če bi razumeli, če bi videli resnico o tem, kdo smo in kaj so vsi pojavi, potem nam ne bi bilo treba reagirati na takšen način. Potem je Rinpoče rekel, to se tiče že tretje točke, tretje plemenite resnice, za katero zdaj še ne bomo, v kateri zdaj še ne bomo govorili. Zato, ker kleše ustvarjajo ali negativno stanje uma, negativne emocije ustvarjajo karmo. Po Budovem razumevanju, oziroma Budov pogled je to, da so vsi pojavi odvisni od vzrokov in pogojev za njihov obstoj. Buda ni verjel v stvarnika, v nek primarni vzrok, ki bi ustvaril vse fenomene. Vendar tudi ni se ni strenjal s pogledom, da bi bili pojavi naključni. Buda je rekel, da vse, kar obstaja zaradi vzrokov in pogojev za njihov obstoj. In ti vzroki in pogoji so mnogi, se pravi, to ni linearno. Vse skupaj je povezano na način, da je vse povezano z vsem. Se pravi, nastane kateregakoli pojava je soodvisen z vsemi ostalimi pojavi. In Rinpoče je rekel, da bomo o tem govorili kasneje, ampak v bistvu pa zdaj že govorimo o tem. In pravi Rinpoče, to je problem z budizmom, ker se ga ne da predstaviti na nek preprost način. Zakaj? Ravno zaradi tega, ker so vse stvari med sabo povezane. In moramo začeti z eno preprosto stvarjo in začeti graditi na tem, ker ene stvari ne moramo razumeti, pa brez da bi razumeli tudi drugo stvar in potem bi morali govoriti naenkrat o vseh stvarih, ampak o vseh stvarih naenkrat se pa ne da govoriti. Ampak glavno razumevanje tukaj je, da je vse medsebojno odvisno, soodvisno in da vse obstaja na način vzrokov in pogojev za obstanje. Vsak fenomen lahko obstaja samo tako, da obstaja ob enem še vsi ostali fenomeni. Naprimer, mi mislimo na način, Rinpoče je dal primer, jaz sem Rinpo Tulku in to, tukaj so Slovenci in vse ostalo je različno z meni. Ampak če bi pa malce še natančne in globe pogledali, bi pa rekel, ampak se, to ni ena stvar. To telo, to je moje telo, to nisem jaz. Potem, to je moja glava, to tudi nisem jaz. Moje misli, to tudi nisem jaz, to so moje misli. In če bi šli na ta način podrobno gledati, pravim, če je potem sploh, ki ga jaz ne bi mogli najti. Našli bi lahko samo nekaj, kar je bodi si moje, ali pa nekaj, kar je različno od mene. Ampak samega tega jaza pa ne moremo najti. In ko ugotovimo to, da ne vemo, kje sploh smo, kje ne najdemo tega jaza, za katerega domnevamo, da obstaja, potem pride do stanja zmedenosti. In to je točno to, v kakšnem stanju se zdaj nahajamo. V stanju nevednosti, v stanju zmedenega uma. Ta jaz je samo predpostavka. To je nekaj, za kar predpostavljamo, da obstaja. Ampak bi pa če pravi, da je to tako kot en junak iz risanke, ki tisti, ki izkuša, ki si ga izmislimo, zato premislimo, da more nekdo doživljati to izkušnjo in potem na osnovi tega, te osebe, ki si jo izmislimo, ločujemo na stvari, ki jih imamo radi, na stvari, ki jih ne maramo in vse skupaj nastane en velik, iz tega nastane en velik cirkus oziroma naše življenje. Ampak v resnici pa ta predpostavka, na kateri gradimo, sploh ne obstaja, ta nek jaz, ki bi bil ločen od vsega ostalega. In temu rečemo dualističen način razmišljanja. Seveda obstaja neka izkušnja, ampak in vse, kar je, je neka izkušnja, ampak ni pa tiste, ki bi izkušal. Ampak zdaj smo spet prišli do te tretje točke, tretje plemenice, plemenite resnice. Skratka, vse je medsebojno povezano in tisti, kar, ki, tisti, ki izkuša, je, lahko nastane samo kot soodvisnost vseh fenomenov, ampak če ga predpostavimo kot nek jaz, kot neko osebo, potem na tej osnovi začne delovati karma. Na osnovi te ideje potem se pojavi razmišljanje, razna emocionalna stanja, se pojavi reakcija, način, kako gledamo na stvari, način, kako smo navajeni početi stvari in na ta način sami sebe dobesedno ustvarjamo. Ustvarjamo način, kako smo. To je zelo pomembno razumeti, da vse stvari obstajajo samo kot del sveta, del pojavnosti. In če rečem, recimo, roža, ne, vidim to rožo, potem moram razumeti, da ta roža ne obstaja sama na sebi, obstaja samo moj pogled, kako jo jaz vidim. Ne obstaja pa sama kot neka roža, ki bi obstajala izven nekogršnega pogleda. Ker različna bitja lahko vidijo to rožo na različen način. Recimo črvi v zemlji doživljajo rožo drugače, bakterije, ki živijo na roži, imajo drugačno percepcijo te rože. Na različne načine lahko ta roža funkcionira kot popolnoma različna stvar. Za nekoga je to lahko dom, za nekoga je lahko to hrana. Ampak sama na sebi ni roža nič, razlike se pojavljajo v pogledu na to rožo. Kako doživljam stvari, kako doživljam svet, to je moj način videnja stvari. In ta način izvira pa iz moje navade, da stvari vidim na določen način, iz moje percepcije, ki se ponavlja. In recimo dober primer tega je, da naprimer, ko smo v negativnem emocionalnem stanju, potem to obarva vso našo zaznavanje. Prav, Rinpoče da primer, recimo, če bi bil Rinpoče slabe volje, že prej bi prišel sem in bi bilo vse dolgočasno in bi rekel, o, te Slovenci so res čudni, ali če bi bil prej dobre volje, ko je prišel sem, bi videl Slovence kot zelo fine ljudi, skratka njegova percepcija bi se glede na dispozicijo spremenila.
I was going to tell a story, but I don't know whether we have too much time, but it's a short story, but one of my favorite stories. It's not very interesting, but but I like to tell that story. Actually, maybe all of you know this story, but I think it's coming. It's not coming from Buddhism. It's coming from somewhere else. Maybe from Bible. It is said that there's a wise shepherd. The wise shepherd is sitting on the pass And then one man comes and asks the wise shepherd, look at that village, is this your village? He said, yes, this is my village. And he says, what kind of people live there? And then the wise shepherd asks him a question, where do you come from? I come from so and so village. What kind of people live there? And the traveler says, they're terrible people. They're really not nice, not hospitable, not quarrelsome, very bad people. And he says, exactly the same. Those people down there, they're exactly the same. They're quarrelsome, not hospitable, very bad. And he goes. And after a few minutes, another person comes and asks the same question. You know, you're from this village? What kind of people live there? Again he asks the same question to this traveler. What kind of people live in your village? He says, very nice people there. All kind and hospitable and very nice. And he says, exactly the same. These people are exactly the same, like that. Very good. Now, this is the story. Now the interpretation of the story. That's mine. Why this wise shepherd gives totally two different answers to about the one village? And I think this person who sees everybody in his village very bad, if he goes to this village, might find them also the same way. And the other one who sees his villagers very nice, if he goes to this village, also find maybe the same way, because it's lot about you. How I am is mostly reflected in the people and situation and things like that. So therefore, you know, this was to illustrate that, you know. I think that this is like this. But this is like this because I'm like this. Yeah? If I'm not like this, I will not see this like this. Yeah? The color is not on this, no? The color is the lights and it's a reflection in my eyes. It's not on here. Although I say this is pink and this is green, this is like that. You know? If somebody says it's not like that, I would fight with him. But this is my, you know, of course, people who are like me see the same. So therefore, you know, this is the general understanding that, you know, the way I experience is, yeah? Okay. I think you can hear me, no? More or less. If you don't hear me, you will hear him.
Zdaj se bomo pa vrnili k tej zgodbi. Prav Rinpoče, da je to ena zgodba, ki je ena njegovih najljubših zgodb. Sicer pravi, da ni zelo zanimiva, ampak jo rad pove. In sicer ne prihaja iz budizma, ampak mogoče iz Biblije. In govori o modrem pastirju, ki je pazil ovce na enem prelazu. In potem je prišel mimo en človek in je vprašal, kakšni, odkot si jaz, iz tiste vasi tam doli? In modri pastir odgovoril, ja, pa prav, kakšni ljudje pa živijo v tej tvoji vasi? In pa ga modri pastir nazaj vpraša, kakšni ljudje pa živijo, odkot pa ti prihajaš? Ne? Pa prav, pa bom povedal, odkot. In potem ga vpraša, kakšni ljudje pa živijo v tvoji vasi? Pa prav, o, grozni so, samo kregajo se vse čas, blazno negostoljubni so. Potem, ga, potem mu modri pastir odgovori, ja, v tej moji vasi so prav takšni, kregajo se skozi negostoljubni so. No, in potem ta odide in pride naslednji človek in mu postavi ista vprašanja, si iz te vasi tam doli in kakšni ljudje so tam doli in spet mu z vprašanjem odgovori, odkot pa ti prihajaš in kakšni ljudje so v tvoji vasi in potem on pravi, ta popotnik, ja, v moji vasi so pa ljudje izjemno prijazni, izjemno gostoljubni, dobri ljudje in prav, mu modri pastir odgovori, točno tako tudi v moji vasi so ljudje taki. No, in zdaj je pa interpretacija te zgodbe, ne, prav Rinpoče, to je pa njegova interpretacija, zakaj je odgovoril dvema človekoma na dva popolnoma različna načina, čeprav je šlo za isto vas. Rinpoče pravi zaradi tega, ker verjetno tisto, kar vidimo, ni toliko pogojeno, ali pa kako vidimo, ni toliko pogojeno z nečem zunaj, ampak tem, kar doživljamo v sebi. In tako da je modri pastir domneval, da če pač se ljudje doživljajo svojo okolje na določen način, da se jim bo ta izkušnja spet ponovila. Ker je vse to, ne gre za nas, ampak gre za to, kako se vse tisto, kar doživljamo, se projecira, se odseva navzven, se pravi naše stanje uma. Če sem to, kar vidim, ni tisto, kar vidim, ampak to, kar sem. Recimo je primer rože, da rože je določene barve, pravi Rinpoče. Barva ni v sami roži, barva je v bistvu svetloba, ki se odbije od nečesa in pride do percepcije v čutnem organu. In potem, sicer mi smo navajeni reči, to je vijoličasto, to je zeleno. In če bi nekdo rekel, ne, to pa ni tako, ne, se, to je samo tvoja zaznava tega, se, bi se bili pripravljeni skregati z njim, celo steps, da je to res vijolična ali pa zelena roža, oziroma da je takih barv. In ponavadi se zgodi, da ljudje, s katerimi se razumemo, s katerimi smo si dobri, vidijo stvari na enak način kot jaz sam. In se naša zaznava sveta je v harmoniji. In v splošnem je to naše razum, na ta način dojemamo svet.
So therefore, this klesha and the karma, as we said, is the kind of, because of our ignorance or wrong way of understanding what I am and how the things really are, because of that, then all our negative emotions, and because of negative emotions, then we create our own kind of a habitual tendency, and that habitual tendency becomes very solid, and the way we react, the way we feel, the way we experience, the way we see things, and that's how, you know, all the problems and sufferings are created. And so therefore, because all of this is coming out of a wrong way of seeing, wrong way of understanding things, wrong way of looking at myself and my relationship with everything else. So therefore, if I can see it right, if I can understand it in a different way, if I can experience in a right way, then this could change. This way of reacting could change. That's the main understanding. And that's where the cessation of the suffering lies. Because the whole problem comes from a misunderstanding, a wrong way of seeing. And that wrong way of seeing becomes very solid and very intense and very, you know, very big afterwards, which has become what we are now. But it actually starts with the wrong way of seeing. So therefore, this can be changed. This can be, you know, cleared. Because it's a misunderstanding, and misunderstanding cannot be impossible to be, you know, kind of cleared. So that's the third, the most important kind of truth, noble truth, and that's the experience of the Buddha. Not only the experience of the Buddha, but the experience of all the enlightened person after Buddha. That the way we experience the emotions, the negative kind of disturbing kind of experiences, the fears, aversion, attachment, all this way of seeing can be changed, and thereby we can have the lasting peace, the joy, a compassionate and clear state of mind. And when that happens, then whatever happens, you know, whether we are in a situation which is very nice, it's very nice, we can enjoy that in a situation, it's very nice, without making it a trouble. Now, if we are in a nice situation, it's a nice situation, but we immediately make a trouble by saying, oh, this should not change. And also, if we are in a difficult situation, not so nice situation, also we can, you know, you can learn how to react in a such a way, how to look at it in a such a way that we can allow those experiences come and go so that it doesn't become a big problem, that we can, you know, we can find peace, we can find joy, that whatever experiences come, we can see it as an experience which comes and goes, and thereby, you know, with that experience or that emotion doesn't have to, you know, control us, overpower us. So when that understanding and experience happens, then we can have peace, we can have stability. So therefore, you know, there's a possibility to find lasting peace, irrespective of what is going on around us. And this understanding and this, how to get there, how to find that, is the subject of the fourth noble truth. I said in the beginning that I'm not going to give a long talk, and I've given a long talk, and not even finished the Four Noble Truths. So I think I'll stop here, and finish the Fourth Noble Truth, or Third and Fourth Noble Truth tomorrow, along with whatever is the subject tomorrow. And meanwhile, I expect lots of questions.
Torej, kliše in karma so nastanejo zaradi nevednosti. Imajo svojo osnovo v tem, da ne razumemo, kdo smo, kaj smo, kaj stvari so. Tako nastanejo negativna stanje uma, negativna čustva in na osnovi teh nastanejo uzorci, ponavljajoči se uzorci odzivanja na okoliščine. In to kar nekrat ustvari nek zelo trd, nepreboren svet, način, kako reagiramo na stvari. Vse postane zelo rigidno in zaradi tega izkušamo veliko trpljenja, vse doživljamo kot, kot problem. Vse to ima osnovo ravno v tem napačnem razumevanju, v tem, da narobe vidimo same sebe, v tem, da ne razumemo, kako smo in kako smo v relaciji do vsega ostalega. In če bi lahko, če bi našli način, pravilen način, kako videti, če bi videli na pravilen način, potem bi se tudi naš odziv lahko spremenil. In to je potem ta tretja plemenita resnica, ki govori o prenehanju trpljenja. Torej, problem je v nerazumevanju, v napačnem razumevanju, v napačnem pogledu. In zaradi tega napačnega pogleda doživljamo svet kot nekaj nespremenljivega, kot nekaj trdega, nekaj zelo intenzivnega, kot nekaj, kar nas preplavlja, nekaj, kar je velik problem. Ampak, ker se vse to začne zgolj z nerazumevanjem, pomeni, da lahko da je to možno spremeniti, da je mogoče očistiti ta negativno stanje uma in karmo. Ta nesporazum se lahko razjasni. In ta tretja plemenita resnica je zato najbolj pomembna, kajti to je bila Budova dejanska izkušnja. Za njega se je trpljenje prenehalo, ne samo njegova, vsi, ki so se razsvetlili, vsi razsvetljeni ljudje po Budi so ravno tako izkusili to prenehanje trpljenja. Način, kako doživljamo svet, se spremeni. In zaradi te spremembe lahko izkušamo svet na radosten način, lahko najdemo trajen mir. Mir, ki je poln sočutja, ki je jasno stanje uma, nezmedeno stanje uma. In na ta način lahko potem razsvetljena oseba, karkoli se že zgodi, v kakršnikoli okoliščinah ohrani ta mir. Če so okoliščine prijetne, če se okoli nas nekaj, kar je v redu, potem iz tega ne naredimo problema. Kako pa mi naredimo problem na ta način, da je v prijetni izkušnji se pojavi misel, to se ne sme spremeniti, hočemo zamrzniti to izkušnjo. In ravno tako pa za nekoga, za katerega se je prenehalo trpljenje, ni problem, če so okoliščine neugodne, kajti vse je odvisno od tega, kako jih doživljamo, kako gledamo na njih. In v tem primeru nekdo, ki je osvobojen trpljenja, enostavno pusti, da te izkušnje, te okoliščine pridejo in tudi minejo. In iz tega ne naredi velikega problema, ampak ohrani radost in mir. Kajti vse izkušnje kar naprej pridejo in grejo. In tudi emocije, čustva prikajajo in odhajajo. In na ta način nas ta čustva ne morejo preplaviti, ne morejo nas kontrolirati, če enostavno pustimo, da pridejo in odidejo. Na ta način je možen, je lahko dosežemo mir, stabilnost uma. Na ta način je možno, ne glede na to, kaj se dogaja okoli nas, doseči trajen mir. In zdaj pa kako pride do tega razumevanja? Pot, metoda, to je pa stvar ki se tiče tretje plemenite, četrte plemenite resnice. Rinpoče pravi, da je prej obljubil, da ne bo govoril dolgo, ampak je vendar je bil dolgo učenje in pravi, da zaradi tega se bomo tukaj ustavili in bomo jutri nadaljevali za učenjem o štirih plemenitih resnicah, poleg karkoli že na sporedu. Za jutri, zdaj pa pravo Rinpoče, da pričakuje mnogo vprašanj.
I have first question.
Okay.
Later I have two questions. I have always problem with this suffering.
Okay.
Is this suffering the attribute of samsara existence as a whole? Because we all know the sentient beings, they all suffer, you know? Animals, they all suffer, they are not aware, but they suffer. Also, the plants, they do suffer. They are not aware, but they suffer because they react on some bad, you know, approach. So, what is, why there is a suffering in this samsara? Is it possible that somebody comes with the magic wand and erase all the suffering from this samsara world? And will samsara world exist without suffering? And do you suffer? These are my beautiful questions.
Very good question. First, I think from the Buddhist point of view, the world and samsara are not exactly the same. The world is the world, and the samsara is a state of mind which suffers. You know? The suffering has to be an experience, because suffering is an experience. You know, it's not a thing but an experience. If I experience something that's not nice, that's not, you know, satisfying, that's painful, that's suffering. If we have this samsaric state of mind, then we suffer because samsaric state of mind, as we discussed, is with all this aversion, attachment, fear, and all these things. So therefore, then we have, you know, so human beings have that, animals have that, plants, we don't know whether they have that or not, but some plants could have, we don't know. Now that's the understanding. And that's not only understanding, that's the experience. From Buddhist point of view, you cannot change that with a magic wand, because it's a personal thing. It's my experience. Somebody who doesn't have that, who knows how to be free from that, can teach us how to do that, how to free ourselves from that suffering. And we can, if we work on it, if we can, you know, if we can train on it, we can change. We can have less suffering, less and less suffering, and completely no suffering also. But it is not something external that, I give you a medicine and then you are free from suffering, or somebody comes, maybe somebody can, I don't know, but so far it hasn't happened. That's the idea. That's why Buddha said, I show you the way. I show you the way. Whether you free yourself from suffering or not, whether you liberate yourself, is up to you. And that's why, from Buddhist point of view, we see Buddha as as a teacher. As a teacher who knows the way how to free ourselves from suffering, and he can show the way, but it's up to us. Nobody can force us, nobody can kind of take it away like this. Because if it can be, it would have happened by now. So this is the general understanding. But the idea is, if we want, and if we work on it, and if we work on it with the right kind of methods, diligently, persistently, it's possible that we can find lasting peace and happiness. That's the general understanding. That's why, Buddhism is all about. Somebody was saying that I asked, what is the most important thing you learned from Buddhism? And he said that I am responsible for myself. That's the most important thing I learned. I said, what's the most difficult thing in Buddhism? He said, the same thing. That I am responsible for myself. So it's a little bit like that.
Treba prevesti vprašanje. Ne.
I just asked if I should translate the question, but they said no.
Okay.
Torej, Rinpoče je odgovoril, da prvi najprej, kar je, da svet in samsara v budizmu tukaj ni enačaja, to ni ena in ista stvar. Samsara je stanje uma. Samsara je stanje trpečega uma, stanje uma, v katerem obstaja trpljenje. In to ni stvar, to je nekaj, kar mora biti, kar je treba izkusiti. Se pravi, če pride do tega, da se pojavlja nekaj neugodne okoliščine, nekaj, kar ni lepo ali kar je boleče, potem se pojavi to samsarično stanje uma, ki je, se pojavi se trpljenje, ki je posledica samsaričnega uma, ki je posledica čustev zmedenosti in pa čustev bodi si hlepenja ali odvojnosti. Tako pride potem do trpljenja in to izkušajo ljudje, to izkušajo živali, za rastline se ne ve. Takšno je razumevanje tega, ne samo razumevanje, ampak tudi izkušnja. Zdaj, ali obstaja način, da bi se to dal rešiti z neko čarobno palico, vprašanje, problem je v tem, da gre za osebno stvar, zmeraj je moje izkušnje trpljenja in če bi prišel nekdo, ki je osvobojen, ki pozna pot in bi nas naučil, tem bi lahko delali na tem, tem bi bilo trpljenja zmeraj manj in manj in manj in na koncu bi lahko prišli do stanja, kjer trpljenja ni več. Ampak to ni neka stvar, ki pride v Dunaj. Recimo, da bi se dalo, da pride nekdo, ki nam da zdravilo, ki odpravi vse trpljenje. Ampak do zdaj se to še ni zgodilo. In tudi Buda sam je rekel, jaz vam lahko pokažem pot. Pot iz trpljenja. Če se boste osvobodili trpljenja, to je pa vaša stvar, če boste hodili po tej poti. In zato v budizmu vidimo Budo kot učitelja, ki pozna pot, ki pozna pot do osvoboditve od tega trpljenja, ampak nihče nas ne more prisiliti, da hodimo po tej poti in tudi nihče ne more vzeti našega trpljenja. Kajti, če bi bilo to možno, bi se to že zgodil. Če se hočemo osvoboditi trpljenja, če delamo na tem, če poznamo pravilno metodo, pravo metodo, če smo marljivi in ustrajni, potem bomo našli trajno srečo in mir. To je splošno razumevanje budizmu. In Rinpoče pravi, da nekoč nekoga vprašal, kaj se mu zdi, kaj se nauči v budizmu, kaj je za njega najbolj pomembno in ta človek je odgovoril to, da sem sam odgovoren zase. Potem je Rinpoče še vprašal, kaj se mu zdi pa najtežje v budizmu in ta človek mu je dal isti odgovor, to da je sam odgovoren do samega sebe.
And the second part of the question.
Fool on
Do I suffer?
A fool on a hill.
Huh?
That fool on a hill, somebody who is insane, he doesn't suffer. He never suffers. Because he's happy all the time. He's very happy all the time. He only feels maybe sometimes physical pain. But he likes it. No, he doesn't suffer. So is he the happiest person? Is he? Does he get rid of the suffering, or is suffering part of his inner existence still, or he doesn't have any suffering?
Which is that one?
I know a person who is happy all the time.
Yeah.
And when he sleeps. But he's full on the hill.
He's what?
Full.
He's a fool.
He's in the mental hospital, but he's very happy. He doesn't register. He doesn't, in fact, register that he is unhappy. He has no knowledge of registering that he is unhappy. So, if sentient being...
If he is so happy, then why is he in the mental hospital?
Because he's too happy.
Because other people are not happy.
I mean,
he should not be in the mental hospital. Why should he be in the mental hospital?
But he's
happy.
He doesn't feel any pain, any suffering.
Uh-huh.
He's not within his mental attribute suffering. Because he is not aware. So suffering comes only, suffering is the part only the sentient beings, between the sentient beings. Or?
I want to be like him. But not in the mental hospital.
Rinpoče pravi, da bi bil rad tako kot ta človek, ki je očitno vse čas srečen, posaša to že pri povedovanju in Rinpoče je rekel, ampak da rad bi bil kot on, ne bi pa bil norišen.
And obviously I am not like him, so I have suffering.
Rinpoče pravi, da očitno ni tako kot on in ja, tudi Rinpoče pravi, skuša trpljenje.
But I call myself Lazy Lama. Why I call my myself Lazy Lama? Not because I don't do things, you know. I do everything on time. Sometimes before time. People sometimes complain that you say you go at 7:30 and you are ready by 7 o'clock and say, go. What is this? I call myself Lazy Lama because I know I have learned more or less that if I really practice, I could become much better. I could maybe free myself from suffering. That much I understood, but I don't do it. So I can't find any other reason than laziness. So I called myself lazy lama. And lazy is not in a good sense. Not because it's a good to be lazy, it's very bad to be lazy.
Rinpoče prav, zakaj še, se še ni osvobodil trpljenja, pravi samega sebe kličem leni lama, pa ne zato, ker ne bi počel stvari, ja, pa zato, ker ne bi pravočasno počel stvari, včasih sem še prezgoden, rečem, da bom se nekaj zgodilo ob 37, pa že ob 7, potem rečem, sem pripravljen, gremo in se ljudje pritožujejo. Rinpoče pravi, da samega sebe tiče leni lama zaradi tega, ker se več ali manj že ima vse znanje, ki bi ga potreboval za to, da se osvobodi trpljenja in ve, da če bi res hodil po poti, če bi se lotil tega, bi se lahko osvobodil trpljenja, vendar tega ne stori. In zaradi tega, to je zaradi njegove lenobe in tukaj lenoba ni mišljena na dober način. V bistvu je to zelo svobodno.
I can tell this story. It is said that once there was a king, and then he got a kind of a prediction, saying that in 7 days there will be a rain, and whoever drinks water from that rain will go mad. So he made sure that he's not drinking from that rain. So he made a well in his own house, got in the palace, and then, you know, so he only drank that water. So everybody in the country became mad. And then, after some time, they said, the king has become mad. The king has become mad. So they all, you know, because he was different, so they said he's mad. So the king, you know, whatever he explained, couldn't convince them that he's not mad, because everybody was mad. So at the end, he decided to drink the same water. Then everybody became sad, so he was cured from his madness.
Ena zgodba obstaja o kralju, ki je nekaj zvedel, da bo, kdo mu je povedal, da bo čez 7 dni padel dež, ki bo povzročil, da bojo vsi ljudje v njegovem kraljestvu zgubili zdravo pamet. In zaradi tega se je kralj pripravil in je skopil poseben vodnjak v svoji palači, kjer je bila ta nekontaminirana voda in res čez 7 dni je ta dež padel. In vsi v kraljestvu so zgubili zdravo pamet, samo kralj je svoj vodnjak, iz katerega je pil in je ostal edini normalen. Ampak čez nekaj časa so vsi začeli govoriti kralj nor, kjer je bil drugačen od vseh ostalih. In karkoli je že kralj govoril, jih nikakor ni mogel prepričati, da je on normalen, da so oni nori. In tako je kralj pač čez nekaj dni še sam popil kontaminirano vodo, postal tak kot vsi ostali,
I think the main understanding from Buddhist point of view is that, you know, when we're talking about finding a way out of suffering, it's not like taking a drug and you are in a kind of high state of mind all the time and then kind of you feel no suffering. That's not the idea. But here is, you are aware of everything, clear. The mind is clear, you see what is what, and you can see, you know, and you have all the emotions, you have all the thoughts, you can see everything, what others are feeling, what you are feeling, you very clear, yet you also know how to deal with, you know, any kind of thoughts, any kind of emotions, any kind of feelings, you can deal with them in such a way that they it doesn't become a problem for you. So therefore, here it is a very clear mind, not a kind of a confused little mind, not unknowing what's going on, not knowing how to react with things, but very clear and very this kind of clear discernment, but still, able to process everything that you experience in such a way that it doesn't become a problem. So when that happens, it's not like a different, altered kind of state of mind where there is kind of, you cannot feel something, you cannot understand something, not like that. This is the main understanding, here, when you have an experience, when you have an emotion, good experience, you can say, you have a good experience, you can allow it to come in, you can allow it to go out, and you say, you have no problem with that. You know how to deal with it. You have a negative, not so, unpleasant experience, you can let it come in, you can let it go, you have no problem. It's not that you are very high and you are kind of always like in a state, not like that. But you, when that happens, then, you have the control, you have the, how to deal with it, you know exactly what to do. Because otherwise, sometimes you can have a very good experience, and a long time maybe. But then you fall down. When you have that emotion finished, or when you have that kind of chemistry which gives that experience finishes, and you go down, and then you don't know how to deal with it. That's not the solution.
Če govorimo o tem, kaj to pomeni najti pot iz trpljenja, potem tu razumljamo, to ni razumljamo kot da vzamemo neko drogo in smo zaradi tega ves čas v nekem vznesenem stanju. To stanje uma, ki je osvobojeno trpljenje, je zelo jasno. Še zmeraj so to prisotne misli, čustva, ki jih lahko jasno izkušamo in razločimo. Vendar vemo, kako delati s tem. Vemo, kako reagirati, kako se odzivati na izkušnje, ki jih doživljamo, ne da bi to postalo problem. Stanje uma, ki je vedenje, ki je spoznavanje, neko nezavestno stanje uma, zmeraj jasno razločujemo stvari, vendar smo vse te vsa ta stanja, vse te misli, vsa ta čustva sposobni delati z njimi na tak način, da to ne postane problem. Ne gre za neko spremenjeno stanje zavesti, v katerem ničesar ne čutimo in ni nobene spoznavne funkcije uma. Če je naša izkušnja, naše umsko stanje, naše čustva, če je nekaj pozitivnega, pustimo, da to pride in da gre. In ne ustvarimo probleme iz tega, vemo, kako delati s tem. Če se pojavi neka negativna situacija, spet se ne oklepamo tega, ampak pustimo, da pride in gre. Torej, to ni v neko vzneseno stanje uma. Še zmeraj smo tukaj prisotni in vemo, kako se odzivati, vemo, kaj storiti. K Kajti, če bi recimo imeli neko zelo dobro izkušnjo, čeprav bi trajalo mogoče dlje časa, ampak preveslej, ko bi recimo popustila kemija, ki je povzročila to stanje, bi spet padli dol, bi spet padli neko negativno stanje uma, s katerim ne bi znali delati. Tako da to ni rešitev.
So I think we'll stop here tonight.
Tukaj bomo zaključili za danes.